floor is now yours.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric. Great to be here. My name is DJ Chuang, and I'm going to kind of do a cram session on social media. And you can actually follow along if you've got the Wi-Fi network password. It's CafeCafe77. And what I'm going to do is just surf a couple of websites and give you a color commentary, particularly with four church planters that are using social media pretty well. One's sitting in the room, the other one I just found out about. And so I just want to kickstart our conversation about social media, see where you're at, and help you take that next step. So my website is djchuang.com. That's spelled DJ as in disc jockey, CHU as in chunky, ANG as in angel. And, okay, let's see how we do this. So you can pull that up on your own screens. Probably easier to see that way. I'm going to stand over here. And so the question I want to answer for you today is why church planters must use social media. So my background is computer engineering. Grew up in Virginia, went to Virginia Tech, and graduated in 1988. Which is pre-internet, right? So all the technology that is around us and in our pockets and in front of us were invented like less than 10 years ago. Twitter is only 6 years old, and yet it's changed the face of the planet. It's Facebook has overturned governments, and that yet the church is still trying to figure out how best to use it, right? And Tuesday we were watching an election. What was the first thing the president did after he got reelected? Sent out a tweet. That's right. And so there's something powerful about social media that gives voice to people who don't have a voice, and it amplifies the voice of people who already do have a voice. And for you as a church planter and a leader in your community, you've got a voice that can be amplified and distributed and spread through social media for for no cost in terms of dollars, but it does take time. Now, I was part of a church plant back in 1997, from 97 to 2000, for 3 years in Northern Virginia, more of a multi-Asian, multi-ethnic church. And even back then, okay, so we're reaching young adults there, mostly Asian, some non-Asians. And the top two ways that people were finding our churches were word of mouth and our website. This is 1998, social media. And now, so if you're about church planting, you've got to meet people where they're at. And people are online and now with mobile everywhere through their social networks. So I want to show you a few slides just to give you a sense of where people are so you can meet them where they're at, as well as to develop your voice. Okay. All right, this isn't going to work. We're going to have to switch tracks then. You can look at this slide later on your own time, but what I present in the slides is just a great simple set of questions. Is who do you want to talk to through social media? Social media is not about the technology, it's about people. And social media is for you to have conversations and to share content with people everywhere. Now, it's been helpful to break that down. Well, there's 7 billion people around the planet. Who are the people that you are called to serve and communicate with? Your inner circle certainly would be the people that are in community with you as part of your church plant, your church community or a missional community or whatever you call it, since this is a network of churches that are of all shapes and sizes. Your inner circle, right, you want to be in communication with. Then you've got your Long Beach community, the people that you're in the midst of being incarnational and reaching them. And then you've got the third circle, which is the whole planet, essentially. And so as you share your voice, as you tell your story of what God's doing in your life, in your community lives, and the surrounding community and the planet, you join the overall conversation. And that's what social media really facilitates. Now, let me show you a couple examples of church planters that are doing that pretty well. I blogged about this just 2 weeks ago, so it was pretty timely that I would have this opportunity come along. And so when you click on the first link from my blog post this morning, you can click through to the links that I'm just going to show and tell real quick here. Okay, Toronto Call is a church planter that's currently in Dallas, and he's being launched out by GlocalNet, Bob Roberts' network. And so he's moving to Toronto, and it looks like he had some help. So he found a graphic designer, perhaps a volunteer, perhaps somebody in the core group, and put together a nice web-based brochure telling the story of his call to reach Toronto and what it's all about. So on it, he shares his vision. He shares a picture of his family, tells them who they are, why Toronto, the vision, and an invitation to partner and support his work. And as he does that, he's going to be blogging. So blogging allows you to send a weekly or even a daily update of what's going on in your church planting journey. So traditionally, how did church planters have to do it? You got to send out a quarterly report, a newsletter, an email blast. Well, now with social media, you can be in the moment. You are your own reality TV community and channel. And by sharing that story, you're inviting people to participate as well as to support. And so he's telling his story as he goes along. And one of the simple things that he does is just find an image. So things are becoming the blend of text and image. So having an image for each blog post helps people to engage it pretty quickly. And that's just kind of how things are going in terms of using social media. So it's a mix of text and images. He even shares the nuts and bolts. So one of the things about social media that is it fosters transparency. So he actually shares the nuts and bolts of exactly what he's doing, his whole timeline and game plan and how people can participate. And so when you show your agenda, you don't have a hidden one anymore, right? And people can better engage you and see what you're all about. Now, what would happen if people were to Google your name on the internet? What would they find? Okay. How about someone else?
Like personally?
Yeah. What would they find?
For me, they'd find
okay, great.
Okay. Something I don't want them to know. Oh.
Not
what I'm saying. Facebook, Twitter, and my church website.
He's doing
oh, good. Fantastic. All right. So you've established your outpost online. And now you want to have that come alive with regular updates. So keeping this real practical, establish your outpost so that when people Google you, because that's, hey, if I don't know somebody, first thing I'm going to do is go look them up, see who are they? Who are they connected to? Are they reliable? Do people I know them? And that helps me get to know them before I engage with them, right? And so establish an outpost, and then secondly, make it a calendar item on your what do you use now for your calendaring?
Calendar.
I mean, you know, iCalendar. All right, I use Google Calendar. I know they don't use day timers anymore, right? That's passé. So just make it a calendar item to check in with your social media audience once a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. You can keep it real lean, but you want to check in with them, show them you're alive. Another church planter, give you an example. This is a real minimalistic website, but he's a voracious blogger and a voracious reader. So this is Samuel Choi. He was previously the Federal Way campus pastor of Mars Hill Church, Seattle. Moved to Irvine this past June and has been establishing a church that he's calling Center Church for Irvine.
Yes, he's been here the last three times.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. He's not here today.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, and he's been very good about connecting with church leaders, community leaders, and just people in his neighborhood. And he's been very active telling his story of church planting and just family life. so people can get to know him. Not real visually engaging, but definitely tons of volume in terms of how many blog posts that he puts up. It's looking like 3 or 4 blog posts a week. So very active, just telling about what he's learning about the gospel, what he's learning about his community, what he's learning about his church and people he meets along the way. So that's a good example for you to check out. Chapel of Change is Brian Worth right here. In orange. So Brian, give us a little inside look at how you do your social media and what it is that you're trying to accomplish through your blog.
Yeah, what I do is I do a timeline of what's happening, what major events. I also do on Facebook. I'll give people updates of what's happening. I do many videos on my phone, like when I was searching for a church, I'd ride my bike in the city and I'd videotape me, okay, I'm about to walk into this church and talk to these people right now. Well, actually I was in a car, but sometimes I was riding my bike. And I'll post it up on Facebook. And so what I did, in essence, what I did was, and I haven't got the right terminology, but I sucked a lot of people into our story. In so much that people from far away who couldn't even come, but if I bumped into them, they would say, "Brian, I'm waiting for the next, you know, the next update and stuff like that." So it really just sucked them in like a. There was one of my videos in there.
Who did you cite, Brian?
No, that's Google right there. I don't know who.
This is Blogspot.
It's a Blogspot. It's a free one.
So you can just go to blogger.com, sign up in a minute, and you're good to go. And it has built-in templates, right? And you're just using a drag and drop template with new content, right?
I forgot how I did it, but
yeah. Yeah. So simple you can't remember. That's awesome. Yeah. So blogger.com and wordpress.com get you started in a few minutes. We could even do it here after we finish up. But the one that caught my attention the most. Yes, go ahead.
Do you have a recommendation on the?
WordPress is really, really popular. It gets a lot of active development. So there's a new version that comes out every quarter. I use it myself. And statistics are showing as high as 22% of the internet is now running on WordPress. So WordPress, it's free. There's a hosted version. It gets real technical real fast. But it's a real blogger and WordPress are just real easy ways for you to start blogging. And my recommendation is for starting out, aim for once a week. Because then it feels alive, right? And then people can engage with it. And it can be just short stories, insights from what you're learning, prayer requests, news update, whatever comes to mind, share with your people. Happy to provide more coaching.
You said something drew your attention.
Oh, this one. 5 reasons why almost 700 people attended our church launch. And one of the things, so my comment on this blog post, it was a catchy title. So people tend to like lists. So 5 reasons, or my blog post. Instead of saying, "Hey, I'm sharing with church planters roundtable at lunch," which was my initial title. Because you got to have a catchy title. People don't read on the web. They scan, right? So when I saw 5 reasons why 700 people attended the launch, I'm like, oh, I got to see what's going on there. It's a catchy title. And what's nice about Brian's post is he makes a list, and he bolds the keywords. Again, people are scanning, so make it easy for people to catch what you're trying to say. And so, Brian, great job on that. And I had to tweet that. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is such a good read. And I wanted to celebrate. I mean, that's an awesome thing that God's doing, right? And then, and you're pretty good at keeping it up. But once a week, is that what you shoot for?
You know, I just do it. Right now, I'm just swinging away.
Yeah, just make it a habit. It's about forming habits that engage with your leaders. And if you happen to be in a community where you have artists and film majors and journalists and poetry, I mean, mobilize them. You're building this platform, you're building this community. Bring other voices into it to tell your story, because there's a lot going on to tell. So that's pretty awesome. And then one more, And I'm going to switch over to Q&A, right? Okay, L.A. pastor. Do you know L.A. pastor? Tim Yee. He was planted out of St. Andrew's Church Presbyterian, and then now he's doing a church in a church in J-Town, little Tokyo. And he's not as active on his blogging now, but when he started, it was a regular update. Hey, here's what I'm encountering as I go into the city, part of a revitalization and church partnership, and this has helped people stay connected with him. And he's running on a platform called WordPress. Okay, so just to give you the two examples there. All right. I'm switching around pretty fast. But so just a few quick examples. I've listed a bunch of links here for you to drill down further. How many of you would consider yourself introverts? All right. Well, for those of you that are, what's nice about social media, you get to control the time and energy you spend with people. When you're in a room with people, you got to be on, right? But with social media, you can pace yourself, you can set up a time in your schedule when you're recharged, and you can produce the best content. And social media enables to do that. The best book that I found in 12 years of blogging, so I've been blogging for a long time, best book I found in 12 years is this book by Michael Hyatt called Platform. So you can check that out. Gives you step-by-step instructions on how exactly he went from zero to being one of the top 10 bloggers in the world. And he used to be the CEO of Thomas Nelson Publisher, so he's church-friendly. And that's what the book looks like. So it's about building a platform, being systematic, and establishing a habit of what is the story you want to tell, and do it with regular frequency, and show your passion and show your voice. Okay. And then one more resource I'll share with you, and I'm going to open the floor. Church Planter Guide to Social Media. So for a more systematic approach and a free approach, you can download this book called The Social Media Church Planter's Guide. It's an ebook, so you can even download that right now if you like. Walks you through how to get started with each of these different platforms. My recommendation is pick one. You don't have to be everywhere, okay? Pick one place where your content's going to live. So I think for Brian, your content lives on your blog, and then you can have your Twitter and your Facebook link into it. Pick one platform and have everybody else link into it.
Can you get the title of that again?
The title of this is the Church Planter's Social Media, the Church Planter's Guide to Social Media. Again, everything's at my homepage there, so you can just click through and catch that. But that's a real handy guide, quick read, real actionable. Just want you to get started and come alongside of you. And then we can go in different directions as you'd like, but I'd love to be here to help you and hear what's keeping you from getting engaged on social media and how we can get you to the next step. Yes, Janet.
So we're a multi-campus church, and we send out email blasts, Twitter, Facebook, etc. But one of our guys say that 11% is looking at it, so it's kind of low. And so how do you really get people to engage more there?
Okay, a couple of stats. And this is a little disturbing when I found it. But a Twitter update, when you send a Twitter update, 140 characters, that has a lifespan of 2 to 3 hours. Yeah, so not a lot of people are going to see it. And even if you hit it at the optimal time, people are scanning along their timeline. It's just going to be a blink if they happen to catch the attention. A Facebook update, you're going to get 97% of your interaction within 23 hours. So the lifespan of a Facebook update is only 24 hours, and then it's gone. Now, what I love about blogging is I can still go to Brian's blog post about 700 people at launch, because that's still on the internet, and it's visible to Google, so it's visible to the world. A tweet and a Facebook, it's there for a while, and then it's gone. I mean, it's there, but who's going to go drilling down looking for it, right? Now, here's the other kicker on Facebook. with your Facebook page, you have maybe a couple hundred or a couple thousand people that like your page. Facebook has set up their algorithm to only allow 20%, no more than 20% of the people that like your page are going to see that update. Maximum. So if you're hitting 11%, that's actually pretty good of people that are responding and engaging with your update. So 20% maximum of people who actually already like your page are going to see your update. And part of the reason for that, Facebook is now a for-profit ministry, so they're trying to figure out ways to keep people engaged on the Facebook ecosystem without turning them off and sending them irrelevant content.
20% all the time? So is it mind-blowing to me right
they,
now.
They don't know. I mean, it's one of the, it's in the secret sauce, and they change the game anytime they want. So 20%.
I just discovered a couple of days ago that now you can pay $7 to have a post have a higher priority.
Yes, and that might reach you 30%. But you'll never reach 100% by default.
Unless
So people are coming up with some hacks on how to get around that. I don't have any stats on that, but my guess is there's probably a similar ratio. Yeah. Actually, by default, if you notice on the upper right, you can choose top stories or recent, right? It defaults to top story. And but when it defaults to top story, that's the 20% filter.
You got a post about all this data?
It's on the slides that aren't showing on this computer because I think there's something not talking from the computer to the projector.
Okay.
So it's linked onto the slides there. Yes. Yes.
So
to finish your question, you're going to have limited exposure with your content, and so you have to be pushing content through multiple channels on a regular basis. And the thing about Facebook you want to look at is not just the views, but what Facebook calls social actions. So you want to encourage people to like something, comment on something, and share on something. Those are kind of three things you want to shoot for. Lots of questions over here, and I'll just come tomorrow.
Well, I've heard recently that, so back before social media, it was kind of like a three-touch, if you will, rule on getting people to pay attention. Oh, there's something actually happening to look at. But since the social media boom, that has moved to like 10.
Wow.
Like 10, mm-hmm. You have to get somebody a flyer, an email, an e-blast, Facebook, blog.
Mm-hmm.
Like 10 different times you have to engage them before they go, oh, wait a second, I should actually pay attention to this.
Do you think that's a good thought.
Fair.
It depends on the audience, but that feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're fighting for attention. So the more information that's coming at us from so many channels now, people have to filter out. And so if they're filtering out and you only said it once, it's not going to hit, right? So it's probably where you got to be communicating pretty actively in creative ways. Keith?
What are good platforms to recommend to sync up all of your...
Oh, so to manage Facebook and Twitter, there's two platforms or two web apps that are most popular. One's called Hootsuite, and the other one's called TweetDeck. Both are free, and there's a premium model. It allows you to set up multiple columns so you can track certain keywords or keep track of a shorter list of people that you want to be and stay in touch with. And you can pre-schedule content, which is nice. Yes.
So for our church, we do a midweek email every week. It gets tweeted once it goes out, but with the two-hour window on that thing, should it be, tweeted again several times, like how much is, kind of rule of thumb, how much is too much? Because, you don't want to just be blah, 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 blah
right.
all the time, but you want people to know that you're there and you have content and your stuff is important.
Yes, I mean, somewhere between once a day to three times a day.
Okay.
And you want to gauge the response.
Okay.
To know what time of day to hit it.
Okay.
And what kind of content gets the engagement of a like, share, or comment. And actually ask questions. So when you want someone to comment, ask them a good, simple question. You have to keep it real simple because people are just knee-jerk reacting, basically. And it's okay to direct them and say, like this or share this, particularly if you use a photo. Because images are going to images are go through on the Facebook algorithm more than text. So there's all these little tricks that people are finding out, and then Facebook will change the game again. I saw a hand over here.
He was first. I'll
go. All right. Good. Josh.
Is the content that you post easier to control on Facebook or within a blog platform?
Oh, you can control content way more easier on a blog than Facebook. Because so Facebook, all you got is 400 characters.
So if Facebook shuts down for whatever reason, you can't gather that information?
If Facebook shuts down, like they go bankrupt or something, there is a command where you can download your data.
Okay.
But it's like 10 clicks deep to find it,
because
I had to try to find it. Yeah, blog. With a blog, you own the content.
Okay, so that's better. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's nicer to own than rent. Janet, and actually over here. Thanks.
So with multiple campus, multiple pastors,
yes,
it's one blog for the whole collective church good or individual options?
That's one of those leadership conversations, how you want to shape that. And I've seen churches do it both ways and be effective both ways. So it's kind of like, do you sing the same set of worship songs, or do you have separate ones? Do you have one centralized teaching or decentralized? So it's that conversation again. How much do you centralize and how much do you decentralize? And yet still keep alignment, right? So that's one of those conversations. I've seen it work both ways. But as long as you're aware of why you do what you do, then it can be coordinated.
Over here. This is like concerning church apps.
Yes.
Do you recommend those as well?
I'm not big on apps. How many of you are keen on downloading apps on your phone? Like yet another app
church
or something
apps
else?
Apps.
Church apps,
church
store
app.
Apps.
Games?
Yeah, see, but games are games, but to download another brand app, you know, whether it's Starbucks or Macy's or Target. Yeah, but see, Square just released today, so I'm dumping the Square Starbucks app. Square allows you to pay at multiple stores, right? The article I just read yesterday, 90 some percent of app developers are punting on custom apps and going to HTML5. Because when you go custom app, you have to build one for iOS, you have to build one for Android, you have to build one for Samsung. It just takes a lot of manpower to try to keep all that up. And so I think the trend is moving towards it. And the developers are the guys that build it, right? So if 90-some percent of them are punting on the app and going with a mobile, light, web-based kind of app.
That's what it is, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, web app is just a website that functions like an app with things that you can push buttons on.
That's what it is, I believe.
Yeah, and so I think that's where it's trending. And it costs a lot less. Yeah.
So the web app in that regard is something, if someone was looking at their mobile phone, they'd have to open up an internet window and go to it that way?
That's right. Yeah, they would just go through the browser.
Okay.
And there's ways, apps now, they can create a button that just auto-installs and goes to the browser automatically, and it looks seamless. So I think that's where it's headed, which is good because that keeps costs down, and that also means people are going to be more engaged. Because I'm running out of memory. I have an Android. And every time I'm downloading apps, I say, oh, you're out of memory again.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. But good question. I mean, that's mobile is kind of the next frontier. Mobile, local, particularly for you as a city-reaching movement, there's geotagging that happens a lot now through mobile and local. And so technology is shifting that way to give you more tools for you to connect with people locally. I saw someone yelp. Mike, yeah, thanks for yelping today. Yeah.
What's a Yelp?
Yelp is a consumer review site. Really popular with people that are foodies that eat at restaurants.
They were the first people to do check-ins. That's Facebook.
Yes.
They're late adopters.
Yes. And there's a church I was talking with the pastor in San Francisco. They have the most popular Yelped church site. And that's reaching a certain demographic that are Yelpers. Yeah.
How many hits a day on a blog do you think is good? Do they have any stats on that? Like fouls in a day, or is there any stats you know about?
Well, let me put it this way. So for people to start charging for ads on their blogs, you typically need at least 1,000 or 2,000 visitors a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, to start.
To start advertising. Yeah. But if your purpose is to communicate with your church audience, you know, your church community, you know, those numbers are, you know, they're soft. They don't necessarily mean all that much. It's more of why you want those numbers. Yeah.
The reason I asked about the app is because we're building one right now.
Okay.
Who's telling it? This kind of stuff is really, I don't know nothing about it. The saying so, like, if we could send out, we send it to all the church people who have the app, and itself, like, you don't have to download a new version, it downloads itself to your mobile. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
And so, the reason I'm asking you is more information, see if I really want to go through with it all. Because then we can send, like, it would go to everyone's email right
away. Sure.
Are there other things that do that?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many brands and kinds of technologies, right? And I think the biggest hurdle when it comes to technology is getting people to use it. And so it's much easier to use the technology that people are already using than to get them to use something that's custom and has all these great features. Although some churches have been successful at training up their people to use a private social network, for example. There's a church in Indiana called Granger. And they launched, I think it took them 6 months to launch a new private social network because they had to train everybody up and market it and show them why it's valuable. But by having a private social network, they can do that custom messaging to specific groups. They can have a place where it's safe for prayer requests.
Right.
And they have a place for curriculum and coordinating volunteers. And so there are features that can be done by using a custom app, but you also realize that you're adding a hurdle of learning and adoption. So it's, well, for public communication, you know, go where people are at. But if you have custom needs that technology can empower and serve your people well, then that's worth investing. Realizing it's going to take some training and some cost in doing that. Yeah, Mike.
I forget if I saw it on this post or whatever, but somewhere on your blog I saw the opportunity for texting.
Yes.
You know, applications so that you know churches can. You know.
Yes.
Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, texting. Texting. I mean, we most of us, or many, I don't know about Long Beach, so I have to be careful here. But many of us have cell phones now. I know it's a diversity here with multi-economics. So, but even a third world country, cell phones are becoming pretty common, right? So texting is a lot cheaper than data plans. So texting has 99% open rate. Your best emails only have 20% tops, 25% if you're lucky, right?
Say that again.
Texting has 99% open rate.
Meaning
they're going to look at it.
Okay.
Where if you send an email blast or you send out a blog, you might have 10% of the people that actually look at it. At least with text, practically everybody's going to look at it. Whether they read it or not, you know, that's another thing, but at least they're going to look at it. So there's some texting platforms, they're just not well developed for group texting. But I'll add a few more links on here after we're done to just get you started. They're mostly paid services because the cell companies charge for texting, but a real valuable way. One thing that you might like on the inverse of that, Google Voice is really handy. Google.com/voice, I'll put it on the site. But I use Google Voice number, it allows people to text in. And so a church down here in Orange County called Rock Harbor, they set up a Google Voice number, and that's a text-in prayer line. So regardless of where people are at, they can text in a prayer request, and then they can shoot that out to their prayer team, and people be prayed for. So that's a real handy ministry tool. It doesn't cost anything unless you put someone on point. And one more question, and I'm going to hand it back to Eric.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this isn't a how-to, but just get your thoughts.
Yeah.
I have major issues with becoming a personality.
But you already are.
Well, but give me something more than that, because I was afraid you're just going to say, "But you already are." And I just maybe that's the answer. But I get concerned that the change the dynamic of the relationship the more that I'm on social media, and I just get concerned with that. And I also get concerned with churches that primarily are wrapped around this charismatic blogger, Facebooking, you know, guy or gal. And I'm just, you know, so I just bring that up. Just
I hear your concern. I hear your concern, and being Asian, I have that kind of concern because we don't like to be self-promoting or even be perceived as self-promoting. So if you focus on the story and become the storyteller for your community, I think that that can be a thing you can get excited about and get behind. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pass my card around. I brought you a gift. I know I've been in your shoes before. A book, some books from Leadership Network and other publishers that have passed along books to me, so you can take one on the way out. Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, DJ. Right,
thank you.
So one of our values with Vision 360, why we gather, is for stuff like this, training. You know, you talk about a lot of companies and industries that really being ahead of the curve when it comes 20, to if you're lucky.
Depends how effective you are.
Media, the church kind of
it rarely hits over 30.
And so, you know, I felt challenged a lot in a lot of stuff that you're sharing about how to, you know, I like that the last thing as well. We're not promoting ourselves, we're promoting the gospel. And so when we sell the story of the gospel,